Now, I preached a message Sunday morning on the subject, the shepherd of the sheep, in which I declared that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. Turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. He is the great shepherd. The shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20 says, Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. In other words, before there were any sheep, there was indeed a shepherd. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then chose his people in their head. Before there was a sheep, there was a shepherd. Before there were any sheep, there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. The fall, my friends, did not catch God by surprise. Now, these things I said Sunday and the things I'm saying again tonight are not being said. Did you hear what I said? Before there was a sheep, there was a shepherd. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. And before there was a creation, I know there was a creator, but there was a covenant before creation. That's plainly declared in the Word of God. It's called the everlasting covenant. Everlasting. Whichever way you look at it, it's everlasting. The covenant is older than the creation. Please believe me. God said, I declare the end from the beginning. The finished product is already declared before God ever began work. Now that's true. That's what the book declares. God said, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. He said, I have purposed it, I will do it. I will. So, he is the great shepherd of the everlasting covenant. And then John 10, let's look there where we were Sunday morning. John chapter 10. He's the great shepherd, the great, great shepherd. How great thou art. How great thou art. But he's not only the great shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd knows his sheep. He said in verse 11 of John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. You know, David in Psalm 130 said, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? Considering God in his holiness and majesty and justice, who would stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. I consider my Lord, and I enjoy doing it. I rejoice to do it in his greatness and majesty and power and holiness. But I also like to regard him in his goodness. There's forgiveness with God. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Talks about being a great shepherd, but a good shepherd, and a good shepherd that loves his sheep. I know my sheep, and known of mine. I know my sheep. As the Father knoweth me, verse 15, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He loves his sheep. I give my life for the sheep. He will bring his sheep. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. He will bring his sheep. He will protect his sheep. and his sheep will hear his voice. Brother Flaming in the study the other night told us a story. I don't know a great deal about sheep. I've never been around sheep. But I've read some things about them, and he told us a very interesting story. He said that over in the old country, where they now still keep sheep, and the shepherd knows his sheep. He names his sheep. Like our Lord said, I call them by name. He names his sheep. And they know his voice. As our master said, the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. They won't hear the voice of a stranger. They won't follow the voice of a stranger, but they'll hear their shepherd's voice. And some fella was talking to a shepherd about that, and he sort of didn't believe it. He sort of discounted that, didn't he, John? He just made fun of it. And the shepherd said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll even change clothes with you. You go down here to the sheepfold. They had a compound, a sheepfold, where the sheep were being kept, like in John chapter 10. And he said, I'll even change clothes with you. And you go down there, I'll tell you the name of my sheep. I'll give you a list of them here. Here's the names of the sheep. Now you go down in my clothes, and you stand there, and you call them. And so the stranger did. He donned the clothes of the shepherd, and he went down to the sheepfold, and he began to call the names of the sheep. Not a one of them responded. Not a one. And then the true shepherd, whose sheep they are, even in the stranger's clothes, went down to the opening, and he called them, and they all came to him, one at a time. That's what the Lord is saying. I love my sheep. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. I know their names, and I love them, and I lay down my life for them. And then turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Our Lord is called the chief shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the eternal covenant. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. I love him. I know him. I lay down my life for him. And he's the chief shepherd. Now we're sort of under-shepherds. I guess that'd be our name. We're servants, we're messengers, we're under-shepherds. He's the great and the chief shepherd. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Now listen to this. The elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. This is Peter talking to the pastors, who are called shepherds and pastors. I exhort, and a witness. Peter was a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. Feed the sheep of God, which is among you. Taking the oversight there, taking the leadership, you elders, you pastors, you under-shepherds, you preachers, take the oversight, the leadership. Not by constraint, not threatening people or lording it over people, not even as a necessity on your part or a duty, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for gain, not of a covetous heart, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's a true pastor and true preacher. And when the chief shepherd, whom the sheep belong to whom the sheep belong, the chief shepherd, when he shall appear, then you'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's the shepherd of the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And let's never forget, he's the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. We exhort you to look to Christ and not to us. Look to Christ. Rest in Christ. Believe Christ. And then last Sunday night, I spoke to you. Let's go back to John 10 a moment. I spoke to you on the sheep of the shepherd. We talked Sunday morning about the shepherd of the sheep. And then we talk Sunday night about the sheep of the shepherd. And here's something interesting I didn't bring out either morning or night. In verse 3 of John 10, he calls them his own sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep. They're his. They belong to him. He says that twice, again in verse 4. And when he pulled forth his own sheep, he calls them my sheep. I know my sheep. His own sheep, my sheep. Now the question then comes, how did he get these sheep? How did they become his? Well, we know they're his by purchase. He bought them. I lay down my life for the sheep. He purchased them with his own blood. We know that the Spirit of God brings them to him in a willing manner. They're his. They're his by purchase. And they're his also willingly. They're made willing in the day of his power, but chiefly. His Father gave them to him. That's where he got these sheep. Look at verse 27. His Father gave them to him. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me. My Father gave them to me. That's where I got my sheep. He gave them to me. He gave them to me. Well, where did the Father find the sheep? I know in his covenant of mercy and in his grace, but where were these sheep? Were they Jews only? Or were they Israelites only? Were they moral, righteous people? Where did the Father find these sheep? Well, look at verse 16 of John 10. He's talking about this Jewish fold, and he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. In other words, the Father finds them among Jew and Gentile. He finds them in every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and people unto him. They're black sheep and white sheep, and they're red sheep and they're yellow sheep. There is no nation that has a corner on God Almighty. He finds them in all nations. But also, he finds them in religion and in the world. He finds them in religion like Saul of Tarsus. He finds them in the world like Mary Magdalene. And he finds them in the pulpit and in the pew. And he finds them where they are. That's where the Father finds his sheep, where they are. Well, brother man, how can a sheep be recognized? Well, let's see about this, John 10. John chapter 10, this is where I'm coming to for my message tonight. How can these sheep be recognized? John 10, 26, some fellows came to him in verse 24, John 10, 24, and they said unto him, the Jews gathered round about him and said to him, how long do you make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not my sheep. What is the mark of the sheep? As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. And what's their response? They follow me. His sheep hear his voice. They hear his word. They hear his gospel. How can a sheep be recognized? Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians verse 4. He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, you're his sheep. You're chosen of God, you're given to his Son. All that my Father giveth me will come to me. And I know that you, beloved, are God's elect. Paul, how do you know that they're God's elect? Verse 5, they hear his voice. For he said in verse 5, our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now these Jews, when they gathered around Christ, they said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, they weren't asking because they really wanted to know. They weren't asking because they really had some doubts. They weren't asking that they might follow him. They were asking that they might trap him and report him to the Romans as being a traitor and a challenge to Caesar's crown and have him killed. But our Lord replied, I told you. I did tell you. You heard. I told you. If you be the Christ, tell us. I told you. And this is what Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians. Our gospel came not to you in word only. You weren't just told by a man. Watch it, go on. But also it came to you in power. It's one thing to hear a man. It's another thing to hear God speak through a man. It's one thing to hear a man preach the gospel and declare even truth as it is in Christ. It's another thing to hear that gospel preached by that man in the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God not only speaking through him, but the Spirit of God opening your heart, ears, and eyes to receive and to hear and to believe and to behold the glory of Christ. So he said in verse 5, our gospel came to you, but it didn't come in word only. That's where it came to these Jews. I told you, and you didn't believe me. My sheep hear. There's nobody here has ever heard the voice of God speak audibly. Nobody has ever heard God speak, but everybody here who's a sheep has heard God speak. That's right. I've heard God speak. Have you heard God speak? Everybody who's a sheep, he says, my sheep hear my voice. What voice? The voice of Christ speaking through a man. Exactly. John the Baptist, they said, who are you? You the Christ? Oh, no. Are you that prophet? Moses spoke out in Deuteronomy. Oh, no, I'm not that prophet. That prophet and the Christ is one and the same. Well, who are you? A voice. Whose voice? I'm his voice. You say, is that clear? I'm his voice. I'm a voice. I'm a voice in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Well, who's going to hear the voice? Everybody that's here, got ears, everybody. Well, who's going to really hear it? My sheep. Did you see what I'm saying? My sheep will hear my voice. Friends, don't lie awake at night waiting for a voice. If you do hear one, take a sleeping pill. Or don't eat so many beans before you go to bed. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. If you ever hear a voice, God speaks through his word. No man's ever seen God. No man's ever seen Christ. If you see an image at the foot of your bed, you've got problems. There may be demons in your room. I don't know anything about demons. But I know that when you hear from God, you'll hear through the Word. You'll hear through the gospel. You'll hear through his preacher. You won't hear any audible voices. And the preachers that say they're hearing God speak are hearing another spirit. They're not hearing God. My sheep hear my voice. Now look, rest of verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians 1. Our gospel came not to you in word only, it came to you in power, it came to you in the Holy Ghost. And it came to you in much assurance, much confidence in his power, his glory, and his grace. As you know what manner of men we were among you, and you became, and the better translation is you came to be followers of us and of the Lord. What did he say, my sheep? Hear my voice, and they what? Follow me. They follow me. They hear my voice. And that's what we're hearing, and we're hearing his voice. We're hearing his voice as I read this word, as I read the word, as I speak, as I preach the gospel. We're hearing his voice. Now, turn to Acts 8, and let me give you an example of a man who heard his voice. Now, we know that I'm trying to preach a full message, the gospel. And I'm not preaching salvation as an accident. Salvation, somebody said, don't you believe everybody's got a chance? Salvation's not about chance, it's about choice. It's about choice. Don't you believe everybody's got a choice? Yeah. And they make it too. They make it according to their nature. They make it according to their will that's in bondage to sin. Every man will act according to his nature. As God cannot lie, we can't tell the truth. As God cannot do evil, we cannot do good. Our will is in bondage. And Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not. You won't do it. Any man left to himself will not come to God. He will not. So I'm preaching that before there was a sheep, there was a shepherd. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there was a creation, there was a covenant. And there'll be no vacancies in heaven. There'll be plenty of room, but there'll be no vacancies. Every place at the table, the marriage supper of the Lamb, has a nameplate. And it was put there before the world began. That's the glorious, great shepherd of the sheep. And the good shepherd came down here and took on himself our nature. Took on himself our flesh and blood, bones, and took on himself our sins, and died and laid down his life for the sheep because he loved them. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down. I have the power. I got this. All these orders from my Father. This is a mission on which I've come to redeem my people. And he said, how are you going to tell my people? They're going to hear my voice, the voice of my under-shepherd, and I'll speak through him, and they'll follow me. Now, here's an example. Here's a man. This is one of those other sheep. This Ethiopian eunuch wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't raised in a Jewish home. He wasn't a tender to the synagogue. He wasn't a religious man. He's a pagan. He was an Ethiopian. He was a black man. He was from Ethiopia. He was high up in the queen's cabinet. He was treasurer of Ethiopia. And he had an interest in God. And so he took a very difficult journey all the way up to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. And he went up there to attend the feast. It says here in verse 27, in the last line, said that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He'd gone to Jerusalem to attend the feast. He'd gone to Jerusalem to hear about the God of Israel. He'd gone to Jerusalem to hear those men talk about God. He went there to worship God. And evidently, he didn't hear anything. And I tell you this, you can go to a lot of religious gatherings today and not hear anything. I know the Jews were up there in Jerusalem. They had the ordinances. They had the law. They had the ceremonies. They had the feast days. They had the temple. They had these things, but they didn't know God. That's why Christ said, you neither know me nor my Father. And this man went there. They had the sign out, and they had the building, and they had the ordinances, and they had all this religious paraphernalia, but he didn't hear anything about God. And that's what's troubling me about this day. We have the words, and we have the temples and tabernacles and cathedrals and churches, and we have the men of the cloth, the clergy. We have the doctors, we have the bishops, we have the cardinals, we have the priests, we have the pope, we have all these religious gatherings and ordinances, but the people I'm hearing don't know anything about this God, the living God. And so he went there for the whole feast, time of the feast, 3, 4, 5 days, and now he was on his way back to Ethiopia, and he still hadn't learned anything, but I'll tell you what, he had the Bible open. Now, he didn't have a Bible like this, and I really don't know what he had, but he was reading the book of Isaiah, I know that. He might have had a scroll, but it says here he was reading. He was reading the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, my friend, I'm trying my best to get you and the people whom I preach to read the Word of God. I know this, if you are found in the Scriptures, you'll find Him of whom the Scriptures speak. I believe that. If you are, if you're diligently and sincerely, not bringing your traditions to the Scripture, not bringing your preconceived notions to the Word of God, and not bringing your denominationalism and your... In other words, he sent his voice. Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice." He sent his voice to this preacher, to this eunuch, sent his preacher to this eunuch. And the Spirit of God said, verse 29, to Philip, "Go join yourself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is Isaiah. That's what he was reading. And Philip looked up at him and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" If you hold that right there a minute and turn to Ephesians, I want to show you something here. Now, I know that people here of average intelligence and above average intelligence, you say, "What do I need a pastor for? What do I need a preacher for? I can read God's Word. I can find these things out for myself." Let's see what the Lord says about that. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 10, "He that descended is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. And he," this is speaking of the Lord Jesus now, Ephesians 4, verse 11, "and he that ascended back to the Father, he gave some apostles, Peter, James, and John, so on, and some prophets, and some evangelists, missionaries, traveling preachers, and some pastors and teachers." Why? Verse 12, "For the maturing, the perfecting of the saints, of the sheep, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." "Peter, do you love me?" "I do." "Well, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." His sheep are going to be fed, but I tell you, they're going to be fed through his shepherd. He gave them. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to teach his sheep, to feed his sheep, to preach the gospel to them, that they might be mature, that they might be edified. Look at verse 13. Till they all come in the unity of the faith. One faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Until they all come to one faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, I'm saying this to you. I won't say that it's absolutely essential, because God will do what he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. But I'm saying, generally, if a person hears the gospel, they'll hear it from a preacher. God sent Paul to Lydia. He sent Ananias to Paul. He sent Peter to Cornelius. He sent Philip to the eunuch. And you can go through the Word and find Paul to the Philippian jailer. And Paul in prison, he sent Onesimus up there to hear Paul in prison. In other words, if you want a God's sheep, one of those sheep that belong to the great shepherd and the good shepherd, kind shepherd, and the chief shepherd, sometime your path's going to cross the path of one of his preachers. It'll be an earthen vessel, but that treasure will be there. And that preacher will preach, and we'll show you what he'll preach in a minute, and you'll hear him. And in hearing him, he'll be a voice, but you'll hear him who speaks from heaven. Because he's not going to shout to you from Sinai. And he's not going to speak to you in what they call the still small voice. It may be a loud voice like Dr. Fortner, which ain't very still and ain't very small. But you'll hear him. And you won't just hear that man, you'll hear him who speaks through that. In fact, you'll look clear past that man. And you'll look to him who's speaking through that man. He'll cross your path. He'll do it. He'll cross your path. It may be when you're 10, like my grandchildren, it may be when you're 20
or 30 or 40. It may be, Martha Lou, when you're 60, mightn't it? But he'll cross your path. Aren't you glad he does? Aren't you glad he didn't leave you alone? Let you go your way? If I go my way, I'll go to hell. Somebody said, I just want my will. I don't. I want his will. I want him to interrupt me. I want him to arrest me. I want him to stop me. I want him to confront me with his gospel. And I don't want to hear a man argue doctrine and debate. I know I need for debate. I want to hear a man preach Christ. And if he preaches Christ, his sheep will hear him. Now this fellow was reading Isaiah 53. You see, it says here, verse 31. Let's go back to verse 31. Philip said, verse 30, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless somebody shows me? Somebody has to show me. And the place where he was reading was Isaiah 53. Now let's turn to Isaiah 53. Let's see what this man was reading. Now be patient with me, will you? He's reading Isaiah 53. And he was reading, verse 1, who hath believed our report? Not many. To whom is the power, the arm, the name of the Lord? That's it, Paul. To whom the name of the Lord is revealed. His power is in his name. Who is he? He'll grow up as a tender plant, as an infant child, as a root out of dry ground, out of the nation of Israel. He has no form or comeliness. He didn't come in the satin robes of royalty. And when we see him, there's no beauty. There's no halo about his head. He's like a tabernacle in the wilderness, just a man. Why, he's a man. You're not 50 years old, they said. There's no beauty that we should desire. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's despised, we esteemed him not. You know who that is. That's Christ. And I know who it is. But the eunuch didn't know who it was. And there was a time I didn't know who it was. And verse 4 said, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. There was a time I didn't understand what that meant. He's sent of God. The people who crucified him did what God determined before to be done. They carried out the great design of God. His death wasn't an accident. It was a purpose of God to redeem his people. He was wounded for our transgressions. He took our sins in his body on the tree. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep, lost sheep, wander astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, our own will. And the Lord made the iniquity of us all to meet on Christ. That's what he was reading. And it says, turn back over to Acts 8, and let's see what Philip did with that. And it says in verse 35, or verse 34, the eunuch was reading that scripture there, reading about the incarnate Savior, reading about the suffering Savior, reading about the substitute Savior, reading about the satisfied Savior. He'll see the travail of his soul be satisfied. The pleasure of the Lord to prosper in his hand. And he said in verse 34, the eunuch said to Philip, I pray thee, of whom is the prophet speaking this? Who is this? Who is this prophet over here Moses spoke of? Who is this Passover lamb? Who is this blood sacrifice Abel is offering? Who is this? Who is this rock? Who is this brazen serpent? Who is this ark floating on the flood? Who is this? Who is this great high priest who goes into the Holy of Holies before the Shekinah glory of God and sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat? Who is this? This bread, this candlestick, this light, this... Who is this? Watch it. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Who is the voice? God's man. God's man. And it's the voice of God speaking to that man. And what does that voice declare? He declares, who is Jesus Christ? He declares what Christ did. He declares why Christ did it, that God may be just and justified. He declares where Christ is now, seated at the right hand of God. That's what he preaches. And God's sheep hear that voice. And this fellow here, Philip got up in the chair and sat there, and I'm telling you, he went from Genesis to Malachi, talking about the Lord Jesus, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching Christ, the fulfillment of every type, pattern, picture, sacrifice, the fulfillment of all things. And then, verse 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch looked out the window. I don't know how long they'd ridden along, but I tell you, it was the same day. That man was saved that day. And Philip didn't have to write Jerusalem, see if he could take him into the church. They didn't have a vote. Nobody said, I move, we receive him. Nobody seconded it, and nobody voted. They didn't have to call the board of elders together for him to give his testimony. Just riding along, he looked out the window and saw a lake. And he said, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Sunday night after the service. And I ask you this. Where is the emotionalism here now? I don't read where Philip put any pressure on this man at all. I don't feel where Philip tried to strike while the iron was hot. I don't see where Philip stuck out his hand and said, now you believe this? He just told him who Christ was. The eunuch said, who is this man? And Philip told him who he was. He preached Christ to him. And the man responded. The man wasn't coerced. The man wasn't pressured. There was no emotionalism. There was no fleshly demonstration. There was just preaching of the gospel. And the man spoke up and said, hey, I want to be baptized. There's no hand raising. I want to be baptized. And Sunday night after the service, I went back there and shaking hands at the door. And Brother Roger Crawford, who's been attending here for quite some time now, a year or so, came back and shook hands with me, and he said his eyes were misty. And he said, I like that message, something to that effect. I don't remember the conversation verbatim, but he said, I appreciate the message. I said, well, Roger, I love that message, and that's the truth of God's Word. And he said, I know it. I know it is. And I said something about, well, I'm glad you came here. I'm glad God crossed your path. I'm glad all these years, you know, you've been other places and other traditions and all, but God brought you here to hear this gospel of Christ. And he said, I'm glad. I rejoice. He said, would you baptize me? And you know what I said? I said just exactly what Philip said to the eunuch. Wasn't that what I said, right? Eunuch said, Philip, will you baptize me? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. You know what it says here? If you believe with all your heart. You believe what? You believe this gospel. You believe this Christ. And I said, Roger, if you believe, I will. He said, I believe. I believe. The eunuch answered in verse 37 and said, I believe that Jesus the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. He is the sent of God. He is the Son of God. He is the essence of God. He is the manifestation of God. He is the revelation of God. I believe that. Well, I said, when do you want to be baptized? He said, as soon as possible. Well, I said, that's Wednesday night. He said, that'd be fine. So we'll sing a hymn now. And Roger, I'll baptize you. I'll baptize you. And you know why I'm going to baptize you? Because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't believe in me, you believe in him.
You didn't say, well, I'm a Calvinist, Brother Mann. No, I believe in the Son of God. I believe.
And people who believe, they want to confess Christ, don't they? Publicly own Him as Lord and Savior. So, Mike, what number you want to sing?
117.
I'll ask you to stand while we sing number 117, and we'll prepare for baptism.